Well, hello and good evening, everyone. I am glad to see y'all here again on a Friday night. Welcome Amy and Orthodox and Beth and Rick and Lisa. I'm glad that y'all have taken time to show up here tonight. You know, y'all could have been elsewhere, but you decided to come here. So again, I'm grateful and I'm glad. So everybody give me an amen to make sure I got a mic that's working, or hot mic as they ever call it, whatever. So, you know, sometimes last time I forgot to turn it on. So anyway, there's Fred. He finally showed up. So hopefully everything's doing okay for everybody. So, you know what? All right. Well, then I just walk away. Y'all can go ahead and go then. Yep. All right. Well, anyway, I'm glad that you're here. Like I said, I've been running around rampant and really, whew, crazy trying to hurry and get here on time because, you know, normally I cut grass on Monday. But I had to cut grass today because this weather we've been having, you know, a few days we're in the 80s and the next few days we're down in the 30s. And now we was in the 80s yesterday and now we couldn't even get above 57 today, you know. So, and with the rains and everything else, I just had to get everything done because I wanted to take a lazy day tomorrow. Amen. So, a question to ask you, and I'm sure that you can relate to this. How many times in the past have each of you here in this chat room, or those of you who may be watching this later or listening to this later, how many times have each of you had heard me say, one time or another, that we are a child of God and not defeated people? I'm pretty sure y'all must have heard me say that one time or another, because I quote that a lot. But folks, the fact remains, according to the word, we are not defeated people. None of us are. Those of us who are a child of God, we have something special. But how about have you heard me say, well, the reason why we're not defeated people, because we are winners in Jesus Christ. And we're nothing more than overcomers of what life throws at us. Y'all must have heard me say that quite a few times. You know, in 10 years of running the chapter, and many of y'all have been with me for a while, you know I quote this a lot, because the fact remains, those of us who are in Christ, we are winners. We won. You know, the enemy does not like it. The enemy does try to knock us down. The enemy does try to get at us. The enemy try to make us think, hey, you know, you're not worth nothing. You know, he tries all his little tricks. But if we're rooted firmly in Christ, they don't work. And as you've been covering our Bible studies on Facebook, y'all know I've been, you know, going through John chapter 15, you know, and Jesus is telling us why we are not defeated people. Because we are engrafted into the branch. We are the vines. And we're in the branch and we're getting life-saving water. So again, you know, we're not defeated, folks. And you probably have heard me one time or another say many times that we are not to walk around like some kind of defeated person with your head hung low. We should be standing proud and looking forward and not being bothered by anything that comes at us, because again, my faith, my strength, my path, my victory lies in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to look down like, you know, okay, it's all over with, you know, and kind of let the enemy get to me. I go, no, folks, sometimes we do. I do sometimes myself. But God quickly reminds me, Jim, look up, son. I'm with you. You're not alone. I heard someone told me yesterday when I was out and about, you know, they're a Christian, and they said, man, Jim, I'm lonely. And I get that sometimes. You know, we like to talk to people. We like to be around people. We like to be hanging with people. But folks, let me remind you, we're never lonely. Jesus tells us clearly he is with us to the end of ages. And that's why I tell you, my friends, don't walk around like some kind of defeated person. And the reason I'm telling you this, and I always say this, and I try to encourage people to think positive about this, because our success does not come from ourselves. Success never comes from us. It comes from Jesus Christ. That's where true success in our spiritual walk comes from. And I know this. I know this as a fact, because we all have stories. We all been through some sort of hardships and difficulties and pains and trials and tribulations and you name it, we've been through it. And if we're true to ourselves, and regardless of what's happening to us, our spiritual success depends solely upon Jesus Christ. That's where the real power comes from. And yes, sometimes we may have to go through things, but at the end, or in the end, true success is found squarely in Jesus. Now, how, again, do I know this? I'm speaking from my own personal experience. Each of you can probably reflect on your personal experience. Some of you probably been in the Christian walk longer than I have. But each of us can gauge our success upon what the Lord has done for us. And me and Lisa, we kind of throw this around a lot, you know, and Dot, you know, if she was here, she would relate to it too. But a lot of times, you know, I throw this out and she kind of throws it out and Dot throws it out too, you know, our trials, hardships, tribulations, and everything we go through, folks, is what makes us. And if our faith is squarely placed on Christ, that's who makes us. That's where the success comes from. That's where your spiritual success comes from. And I'm not excluding the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is within us. He guides us. He nurtures us. He speaks to us. He teaches us. Yes, he has to rebuke us. Yes, he has to chastise us. Yes, he has to correct us. But if we, like I said last night, if we are in total submission to the Holy Spirit and striving to live a righteous life, he's going to help us. And sometimes we got to stub our toe. Sometimes we got to bump into the wall. Sometimes we got to trip a little bit. But you know, the more that we keep pressing forward, and Paul talks about finishing that race, but the more that we press on, the more that we put our faith squarely in Christ, the more successful we become. Now, I can give you an explanation of what the world says about success. And I'm sure you can probably find a lot of things on YouTube and social media and books and everything else. They tell you how to be a successful person. They got things out there, yin yang, folks. But here's what the worldview says. Success is often seen as being evidenced by power, money, position, and comforts. That's the world view about success, folks. That's what the world thinks success is all about. Having much power, plenty of money, having positions and comforts. I lived that way once myself, too. That's what I used to think. But now as a follower of Christ, no, I don't think that way no more. Now that we can live what we call autonomous lives and not answering to anyone, making our own plans and decisions, we can be perceived as a successful winner in life if we do it on our own. If we look to those things for power and money and positions, we can live like this. But now, of course, the fact remains, as I learn, all this can be nothing more than a pernicious lie. It's a pernicious lie that the evil one wants you to think. Oh, if you only had more money, you'd be successful. If you had a better job, you'd be successful. If you had some sort of position, you'd be successful. If you had some power, you'd be successful. See, that's what the world throws at us, folks. That's what the enemy whispers into our ears. But true success, again, comes only from Christ. And sometimes we must give up much in order to gain it. It has been said, what does it mean to be successful? Many answers have been proposed. Most commonly, it simply refers to seeing things turn out the way they were hoped for or planned. Yet this is not easy as it seems. So this is why we must place our faith and trust in the Lord to help us succeed in accordance to his will and his ways and not ours. I should have added that verse in there because, again, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. I know it's in Isaiah. I had it up here on the wall somewhere, but again, that's how we should be thinking. We should not be thinking about the worldview. We should not be thinking, how can we get ahead in the world? We need to constantly be focused on Jesus Christ. So if you're with us tonight and you have your Bibles, Lisa will post it for you, reading scriptures for tonight. We'll be in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This is our reading scripture. And look what it says. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's not me saying that, folks. That's the Word of God saying that, and we must believe it. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord Jesus, I ask of you right now, Father, if there's anything within my heart and my mind I have not confessed to you for the start of this service, I ask of you to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Father, I am a dreadful sinner. I am a sinful person by heart, and yet I strive to live a righteous life day by day, hour by hour, and sometimes I can go a while without doing any of that, but then sometimes I fail miserably. And this is why I constantly must come to you and repent and ask for your forgiveness. And Father, I ask of you to give me the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to continue, the focus, to minister to others whenever I can, to think about you all the time. Father, I ask of you to help me walk the path that I need to walk and help me see things clearly the way that you want them and not what I want. And Father, I ask of you to bless those who are here tonight. They could have, like I said, went off somewhere else. They could have went done their own little thing, but they decided to come here tonight. And Father, they came here just to see what the Word is going to speak to them about. Hopefully, they may get something out of it. Hopefully, they can just gain one item out of this message. A lot of times when you lead me to these messages, sometimes I just don't understand why, but I'm obedient to you, and I do so anyway. And I ask of you, Father, to love them, comfort them, watch over them, take care of them, and show them the true path of what they need to do. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. And folks, y'all know the title of this message because y'all seen it in the chat room. And I titled this message, Spiritual Success. Again, it's Spiritual Success. And Lisa's probably smiling because, oh, there's Jimbo. He's drinking his water right there. But, hey, that's good water, too. But I got real water. That's in Jesus Christ. But now, before we get into this message, look, folks, we need to understand that in Scriptures, and this is the Word of God, are facts, truth, learning, understanding, everything that we need to know comes from the Word of God. And God does not lie. The Word says so, and I believe that. And this is why it's so important for us to read and saturate our minds with the Word. That's why we constantly need to meditate on it day and night. It's nourishment. It's food for the Holy Spirit Himself. And if we're open at that particular time and allowing ourselves to be absorbed into the Holy Spirit, He will speak to us in due times and let us know what we're reading. And if it's needed for us, He will show us. And that's why we need to understand, folks, in the Scriptures, according even with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says this. And this is why I said, if you need answers, go to the Word of God. But look what Proverbs 3, 5 says. It says again, trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your pass. You see, folks, I think I must have added extra scripture to that, but that's cool. But see, that's what it's saying, folks. We need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. I think that was verse 6, Lisa, that says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He may straightway your pass. I made another boo-boo. But again, that's okay, because again, folks, this is what the Word of God is telling us. Trust in Him. And I know sometimes, folks, when we are dealing with things in our lives, it's hard, it's difficult, we're going through some sort of a phase or something, you know, we kind of feel like, well, you know, I just don't know what to do, I don't know where to get the answers from, I get frailed, I get stressed out, you know, I go through all kind of pains, I have family issues, emotional issues, job issues, this, and yet, God, you're telling me to trust in your ways to lean on your own understanding, yet when I can't understand this. But folks, that's what God is saying. Trust Him. I know it's hard. It's difficult. Sometimes it's hard for me to trust whatever I preach. I preach to you. And yet sometimes I have to lean on it too. And then I think, Lord, I don't know. It's difficult. And you're telling me to do this? But I do. I do so out of love. I mentioned that last night when we were going through John. We obey out of love for him, not for self. So, how do we gain spiritual success? How do we do it? I hope to help you tonight in this message. Maybe you can get some understanding how to have that spiritual success. But mainly in all of my dealings, especially with me, how do we let go of control? You see, I was a controller over me. I was a control freak. I had to control everything. It took me a while to let go of that control and let God handle it. How do we become detached from our outcomes or our egos or earthly pride? You see those things, folks, if we allow them to fester within us and don't release them and let them go, you're not going to have very much spiritual success, because those are going to be hindrance in your Christian walk. Mainly, I always quote a lot, we have to learn to die to oneself, total surrender to Christ. And sometimes that is difficult. I kid you not. But we must strive to try and do so. And some of us, we move along a little faster. Some of us don't. Some of us gain success. Some of us don't for a while. But eventually we all do. And I encourage you to keep trying. Keep pressing forward. Keep going forward. Yes, I know it's hard, folks. I know life throws you many curveballs. But if you want to be successful, learn to start letting go. Learn to surrender. Learn to trust squarely in Jesus Christ. You see, while we often, a lot of times, focus on outcomes as being evidence of success, and we do at times, we have a tendency to do that. But I found once I started denying myself, doing what the word says, dying to self, denying myself, focusing squarely on the cross, I'm beginning to see that the process is just as important to God. And we honor God with the process of loving and living for him in our daily lives, and in the same token, accepting and trusting in him. Like I said, it takes discipline to get that way. Some of us cannot do it overnight. Some of us needs time. But we need to consistently work on it. We need to strive to be more like Jesus and less of ourselves. And I promise you, my friends, and look, I'm just not making a promise to you, but I'm stating that based on the Word of God. The more that you release yourself, the more that you surrender to him. And yes, I told you, yes, you're going to face a lot of things, but the more that you focus and look to Jesus, things become clearer. When you start having less desires of the things of the world, when you quit being so infatuated with the things of the world, quit getting wrapped up with the so-called conspiracy theories and everything else of the world, and focus more on the gospel, you start to see things in a different perspective. I have. And folks, we do not focus on what we have achieved in our outward goals each day. I don't focus on that no more. I don't focus on, well, what did I accomplish today? I focus on him and what he's going to allow me to accomplish for today. Yes, we can make goals. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't ever quote me saying that, well, Brother Jimbo says you can't make goals. No, I'm not saying that. All of us has goals in life. We have plans. And I forgot which movie it was, but there was a joke in the movie. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. God has a better plan for us. And the sooner we start trying to live according to his will, his way, things do get better. They do. And we know that God delights in our hearts when we are willing to follow his path for us, no matter what that world thinks of our choices or circumstances. He delights in what we do when we surrender to him. And as Christians, our role model for life should be Jesus Christ. We should be striving to look more and act more and be more like the image of Christ himself. I promise you, friends, when you try to start looking at his perspective and looking at his way of living and surrendering to that living, you're going to think different. You will. Your words are going to speak different. Your actions are going to be different. People are going to notice you and say, something's different about you. I can't put my finger on it. Something's different. My wife can tell you recently, within the last, I don't know what, y'all can attest to that sometimes here in this chat, you know, the last 5 or 6 months now, maybe, or 5 months, that I've been on a different path. I've been saying different things. My actions has not been what it used to be. Because I decided, you know what, it's time to start living for him and not for me. I want to succeed, but I want to succeed by the will of God. So what is spiritual success? Or how do we define spiritual success? Tongue-tied. Well, folks, to understand the meaning, we first must know what spiritual success means. Well, the meaning of spiritual success is not about what we do or possessions that we accumulate. Nope. Spiritual success is about who we are, as I said earlier. A walk with the Lord and what we go through makes us who we are. It's about our character and integrity. It's about our faith and the qualities of success like discipline and honesty and loyalty and love to him. That's what makes us. That's what helps us succeed. And when you think about the words spirituality and religion are two more expressions we often perceive as one and the same. Spirituality is the sum of your inner being. It is everything inside of you that is not physical. Your spirituality consists of your thoughts, your desires, your feelings, and your view of life. Simply having religious beliefs does not necessarily mean that one has a deep sense of spirituality. But now the world tells us, again, there are countless paths and ways available to travel to a more spiritual way of life. Let me tell you something right now, friends. This kind of living encourages people to truly embrace self-discovery and a relationship with the universe. That's what it tries to do. When it tries to open up and say, oh, there's more ways for you to achieve your spirituality if you just give in to Zen. Or if you just really kind of let Buddha kind of let you help a little bit along with your Christian walk, you can get to this way. If you become one with the universe, You get spiritual success. I'm sorry, folks, but that's hogwash. It's a load of hooey. It only promotes self-discovery, and that's it. True spiritual success comes from God Himself. Now, in order to succeed in a way that is both admirable and healthy for yourself, you need to first work on your state of mind and inner peace in order to have this success. Wait a minute, Joe. Are you kind of promoting self-discovery? No. But listen carefully. Let me read this again so that way you get it clear. In order to succeed in a way that is both admirable and healthy for yourself, you need to first work on your state of mind and inner peace in order to have this success. And the reason why I'm saying this, folks, because like I said earlier, if there's something that is hindering your relationship with the Lord, that's causing you undue stress or worries or hardships or pain or agony or whatever, then you need to really investigate it and find out why it's there and ask God to help you remove it. So your mind can be more focused on true clarity from the Holy Spirit. Am I less stressful today than I was many months ago? Yes. I'm not as stressful as I used to be. Am I less worrisome than I was many months ago? Yes. I'm not used to worrying much no more. Why has that changed? Because I decided to identify who I was in Christ. I found out through self-examinations it was about me. Me, me, me. Being a pastor. Being a teacher. Being a supply pastor. Doing this. Having that. Knowing this. Doing this. Doing that. Doing. You know what I found out in all that, my friends? All that was self. Self. None of that was bringing honor and glory to God. None of it. I was glorifying self. That's why I was not succeeding. Because I was not bringing honor and glory to our Father. And when I realized that, I looked at myself like looking in the mirror. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, no. What have I done? That needs to change. And when I realized the wrong that I did, I started a different journey in life. I made right a lot of the wrongs that I'd done to people in the past. I reached out to people that have done wrong in the past. Many of them don't want to respond. That's cool. But at least I did what the Lord told me to do. I tried. I wanted to make right with all of them. I sent out emails. I sent out instant messages and all this other stuff. Many do not want to respond. It's like they don't want to have nothing to do with me. Okay, that's fine. I'm not worried about it no more. I tried to do right. And I went to the former churches where I used to minister at, and I stood there at the pulpit, and I let all of them know I wronged you and didn't do right. And I called the other ministers and other teachers and whatever that I did wrong. And you know what? Whew. That burden was lifted. I don't know if who has seen the show Pilgrim's Progress, but I was carrying that burden. Didn't realize where it was coming from. But when I realized I was promoting myself, that was not honoring God. When I realized and I seen that I was doing wrong, then He started showing me spiritual success. So when writing this message, I'm going to cover five ways in accordance to God's words for us to have spiritual success. And this is based on my personal experience. So the first way to spiritual success, my friends, and most folks don't like to hear this word. The first way to spiritual success is commitment to Jesus Christ. Commitment. Woo, woo. Boy, when you say that word commitment, man, boom. A lot of people scatter like rats. They don't like to hear that word commitment. You want to find out how commitment chases away a lot of people? Be a pastor like me and go to the congregation and say, hey, you know, I'm sure glad to see you in church. But I'll see you next Sunday. Oh, yeah, Pastor. Yeah. I'm going to see you. Yeah, I'm going to be here. Boy, you get 10, 15. Oh, man, that was a great message. I'm going to be here next Sunday with my brand new clothes and everything on. And guess what? Pew! You never see them no more. Because they don't want to commit. You see a lot of people say, oh, yes, I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to get Jesus in my life. I'm going to let him do this. I'm going to let. Pew. You see, because they did not want to commit to the real deal. Look what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says about commitment to Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, Jesus is coming. And when he comes, you better hope that you are found blameless. We need to be constantly watching. Now, I'm looking that way because that is east. And that's where Jesus is going to come from. But we need to be constantly looking for the blessed hope. And when it does come, I hope he finds me blameless and not catch me in doing something I shouldn't be doing. So why do so many Christians fail in success? Have you ever thought about that? I have when I started writing this. Why do so many Christians that I know, that I talk to, especially when they come into this chat room, why so many fail in success? Well, the common denominator I found was that some Christians fall short of pleasing God because they are not 100% totally committed to serving him. They're not. And that's why they fall short. What they do, many of them that I have talked to, especially in real life too, they insist of asserting their will over God's will. It's my way, God. My way. No. You telling me to stop this? You telling me to give this? You telling me to do this? Now, wait a minute. Whoa. Hold on a minute here. I got a little problem with this. I want you, but you know what? Wait, but I still need to do it my way. Folks, it's either all of his way or no way. That's it. No ifs, no buts, no in-betweens. See, other words, what they are saying, it's really all about me and my way and not his. As we just read earlier in scriptures, it has to be God's way. And see, this kind of thinking is pride at work in our lives. A lot of times when we don't want to do something, we don't want to give up something, we don't want to change, we don't want to say, you know what, maybe I have not been right. Maybe I have not been doing what I should have been doing. Maybe I should be conducting myself in a different way. Maybe I shouldn't hold on to the anger. Maybe I shouldn't do this. You know what? See, a lot of times if you're not willing to give it up, a lot of times it's pride that's holding you back. And that's why you can't succeed. Spiritual success demands complete abandonment of self and the acceptance of God's will. You have to abandon yourself totally. Deny yourself of things. Surrender yourself to him. Let it go. And we should know this. Well, we should know this passage. I'm fixing to quote you right here. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And a lot of people, they have a hard time with this, and they struggle with it, and I understand it. I struggled myself with it a little bit too, but I kind of understand, okay, you know, everything still has a plan in accordance to God. And it says, and we know that for those who love the Lord, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Now, you have to understand the latter half of that is meaning those who are called. So when bad things happen to bad people, well, they're not called according to God, but yet good, well, we're not good. I should rephrase that. When we are born again, sometimes bad things happen to us, and you think, well, why does it happen? And if I surrender my life, it shouldn't be. Well, again, folks, I quit questioning that because, again, God, you know what you're doing. You have this plan in effect for some particular reason. You allowed this or ordained this to happen. Okay, you know what? I'm cool with it. I may not agree with it, but I'm cool with it. Once I started thinking that way, I started relaxing, living. But what we must think of, what we must do, we must live to bring honor and glory for him. But what we do in our lives has to be sure to line up in accordance to his will. You see, folks, we honor and glorify him, not self. We don't promote self. And when we are more God-centered thinking people, we are more focused on the things of heaven and less of this world and the things in it. Some of you has been noticed already, you know, look, I really care not to hear that no more. I really care not to entertain that no more. I really care not to see those posts no more. I really not too concerned about it because, look, folks, I'm not knocking anybody down. But, you know, if you're so hung up on that, that's your business. But I suggest to you, if you want to start glorifying God, you need to let some of those things go. I got a dear friend of mine. Every time I turn around, she's constantly talking about something in this world. And in the last 6 months, I have not heard Jesus uttered out of her mouth yet. Wow. I had to eventually block her on Facebook. I'm tired of seeing these crazy theories. I'm tired of seeing this. I'm tired of seeing that. I'm tired. You know, every time I turn on the radio, every time I turn on the television, every time I open up a magazine, every time I go somewhere in town, and man, this is coming from Christian people. They are so infatuated with all this crazy junk going on. And I had one upset with me a couple of weeks ago claiming that so-and-so person in Washington was doing this. I said, okay, you know what? Hold on a minute. I'm sick and tired of hearing you saying this all the time. Show me the factual evidence to prove that that person is doing that. Because if that person was doing that, the courts would get them and put them in jail. Show me your evidence. Well, Jim, but they're doing it because this article, you see, but that's your problem. You're infatuated with the things of the world and you're not focused on heaven. Quit with the stupid, stinking thinking. Come on, folks. If you got true evidence, factual evidence, I want to see it. You know, I'm getting off track. But again, you know, again, we got to focus on heaven and less of this world. Yeah, we need to be concerned about some things. There's nothing wrong with concern. I am concerned about some things in this world, but I pray. And that's what we should be doing. That's what you should be doing. Pray. Pray. Power in prayer. The second way to spiritual success, and many people fall short in this category, the second way to spiritual success is confidence. In Jesus Christ. Confidence in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, this is turning out probably another overtime message, but again, I'm sorry, folks. But see, look what 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says. And again, everything that I'm showing you and quoting you is coming strictly from the Word of God, not me. And look, it says, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, sometimes that passage is misquoted and misused and abused. God, can you give me $1 million right now? Let someone deposit that in my checkbook account. I can sure use it. Do you think he's going to give that to me? If he does, I'll give y'all some money, too, to help y'all out. But will he give it? I don't know. Could he give it? Yeah, he could. God, I could sure use that red Lamborghini that I saw a couple weeks ago. Boy, it was a beautiful sports car. Yeah, I got some in the swamp land somewhere to give. Plenty of swamp land. You can have it. I give it to you for free. But you think, again, because I want that Lamborghini, is God going to give me that Lamborghini? He's probably going to say, well, Jim, wait a minute. What's wrong with that VW bug that you got? Well, nothing. But that Lamborghini will look good. You think he's going to give it to me? See, that's why we have to be very specific in our prayers and make sure that whatever's in our hearts that is lining up and is glorifying God. God knows what we need. And God also knows our wants. But he gives us more of the needs than the wants. And sometimes we might need something. We think we want, oh, I need this and I need that. He gives it to us, but not what we expect. All of us who are true to God, my friends, knows that the world and national conditions have caused a breakdown in trust and confidence. We know this. It holds true in government and business and schools and church and families. Yep, there's a breakdown in all of them. But folks, let me tell you something. Do not let the world confuse you, because once again, this is not of God. If you are in a confused state, if you're confused all the time, if you're confused about some issues, let me tell you something again. According to the Word of God, that is not of God. Why? Well, look what 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says about that. Plain and simple. It's right there, folks. God's words, not mine. It says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. You see, folks, if we are so frazzled, afraid, rattled, confused, and if we're trying to discern something and we're confused about it, then that is not of God. It's either of self or either of the enemy. God's going to give us peace and something that we seek. And we who are in Christ knows this to be true, because his words, Christ is still the truth today. He is still the truth yesterday. And he's still the truth tomorrow. God never changes. And in knowing this, we can safely place our confidence in him. He never misrepresents or undermines. Never. That's not God. Trust in Jesus Christ leads to spiritual success. The third way to spiritual success, I got to move along with this. The third way to spiritual success is compassion like Christ. In a nutshell, we should be showing compassion just like Jesus Christ. If we're not, something's wrong. But look what Luke chapter 3, verse 13 says about that. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, do not weep. And knowing this, it gives us insights of how we ourselves should be with other people. That's how we should be. We should be showing compassion. I'm still working on that one. And we know this from his words that Jesus had great compassion, because he was touched, folks. He really was. He was touched by the infirmities of others. He healed the lame. He healed the sick. He cured the blind. He had compassion for all that were hurting. I'm pretty sure if, you know, if he was not obedient to the Father and following the Father's plans, he would have still went on and done many more great things in his ministry. But he's still doing many great things now, even today. So when we are really focused and Christ-minded, we are focused on Him. Him only. We too attain spiritual success when we are compassionate for others. In doing so, we pray for the sick. We help the needy any way we can. We comfort the bereaved. We show compassion to them when they need it, and love. This is what Christ-like compassion does for us. It changes us. The fourth way to spiritual success is, and this is the only way it's going to work, folks. The fourth way to spiritual success is cooperation with Christ. That's right. We have to cooperate with Him. We can't resist Him. We can't tell Him no. We can't say, look, I'm not going to do it. No, we must work with Him. And what He says to do, we do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says this. Plain and simple. Working together with Him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Folks, do not take the grace of God in vain. His grace is wonderful. But what happens is that many Christians fail to work for Christ as they should. They do. They neglect. They make excuses. They fail to cooperate with Christ in carrying out His commission. And when they fall into this trap, and many do, they have it on their minds, I cannot do the things Christ did. I can't do it. I can't do what He did. There ain't no way. So why bother? Why try? You see, folks, that is nothing but a lie Satan is trying to feed to your mind. We must fulfill the Great Commission. Can anybody really type it while I'm still doing the message? Can someone really tell me what the Great Commission is right off the top of your head? Anybody? Or do we need to go think about that one for a while? But listen to this carefully. Listen to this carefully, folks. I'm going to give you some good advice. Christians are not perfect. Woo! What? That's right. Christians are not perfect. Christians are expected to practice what you preach. But we preach a message that is ultimately impossible to live up to. We do. While sinless, now listen to this carefully so you don't get it confused. While sinless is to be our number one goal, we are striving to be sinless, all of us, me included. Should be our number one goal. But the fact remains, it's not achievable in this lifetime. None of us will be totally sinless, not in this lifetime. But now when we get the glorified body and get rid of this flesh, woo, woo, that's my woo. Folks, we are going to be sinless then. Woo-hoo. I'm looking forward to that one. But however, the fact that we fail to live up to God's perfect standard does not change the fact that it is to be our goal and message from all of us. When we are walking in the Spirit and when we work for Christ, we are working with Him also. He goes with us and He speaks with us as we call, invite, and witness to others. He's constantly with us. As Lisa just says, look, the Great Commission is the instructions and resurrected Jesus Christ to His disciples to spread the gospel to all nations of the world. All of us are disciples, everybody in this room. And we need to be spreading the good news to all that we can encounter any way possible, through text, through phone, person to person, internet relay chat. However, we are to be going out to all the nations. This is why we're here tonight. This is why we have this chat room. This is why I'm trying Facebook, because I told my wife last night, this is a lost and dying world, and people need now more than ever to hear the good news of Jesus Christ himself and what he can do before it's too late. And I'm going to be like John the Baptist, and I'm the voice in the wilderness. I'm crying out, repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I pray every day, every day, every day, every day, every day for my family. And I know all of them, my mom, my dad, my brother, well, not my brother, my sisters, all three of them, my nieces, my nephew, they are in the world. They are living like the world. They do not want Jesus Christ. They rejected Jesus Christ. And they say, well, I'm okay, Jim. Don't bother me with that. And I pray and I agonize for them every day, because I know what's going to happen when they breathe their last without Jesus Christ. And you should have that great dread in your heart, too, knowing that they're all lost people out there that need to hear Jesus. So quit being infatuated with other things and start trying to tell them the good news before it's too late. And many still will probably never accept them. And that's bad if it does. And I think about my dad, my mom, and my sisters, and my nieces and nephews, and my cousins daily. Oh, Lord. What am I to do? I try this. I try as much as possible. I invite, I call, and witness the best way I know how. You can do the same. The fifth and final way to spiritual success, folks, and those of you who are fortunate enough to be in our Bible lessons, I have preached on this and taught on this. The fifth way to spiritual success is contentment through Jesus Christ. Look what Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 says. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation, I am to be content. Folks, Paul is telling us the answer to your spiritual success. Whatever situation you are in, learn how to be content. And many fall short here and end up coming unglued, as I say sometimes, because many fail to be content with Jesus or what he has to offer us. And the word here, when you look at it carefully, when you look at the wording in this passage, especially the wording content. When you look at the word carefully, content, in this passage, literally, it means, in the Greek, self-sufficient. Literally, that's what it means in the Greek, self-sufficient. It's a word that describes a person who has passionately accepted whatever circumstances brought to them. They passionately have accepted whatever circumstances that was brought to them. That's the true meaning in the Greek. And many fall short today in modern times. Why? Discontentment is really everywhere. Discontentment is prevailing with many. Discontentment is throughout this entire world. Many are trying to find contentment through possessions, through pleasures, through popularity, through money, through social status. They are trying to look for it in more ways than one. They kind of quote the song, you know, they said, looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, they're trying to find contentment in all the wrong places. True contentment only comes from Jesus. Only comes from Jesus. And Paul learned that. When he learned that, he had great spiritual success. And friends, we must burn it into our minds. We must burn it into our minds like a hot searing iron, that no matter what comes at us, no matter what hits us, no matter what tries to kick us down, no matter what state that we are in, the truth remains in the Word of God, in accordance to God's Word, that real and lasting contentment is found only in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, why am I saying this? Well, simply because His words tells us so. Look what 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says. Right there. Ooh, look. It's not me telling you this. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We gain great gain when we are content with God. And when we learn to be content in Jesus, we learn to have spiritual success in our Christian walk. That's great success. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. As we just learned throughout this message, my friends, genuine spiritual success and real living are found in a fivefold way. They are found in a fivefold way. Spiritual success is found in a fivefold way. 1, contentment to Christ. 2, is confidence in Christ. 3, is compassion like Christ. 4, is cooperation with Christ. And 5, contentment through Jesus Christ. That is true spiritual success. And just as Jesus showed us how it's done, we as believers can and should exercise the fivefold ways in our Christian walk. And above all, we should willingly and gladly be submissive to God. We must submit to Him. And some folks have an issue with submission. They do. I spoke to many Christians, well, I got a problem with being submissive. I got a problem with that, Jim. I don't like the wording of it. Well, you're not going to have true spiritual success until you learn to submit to the Father. Sorry, folks, but that's what God tells us to do. And whenever you do surrender, whenever you do submit yourself to Him, the result will be this. We will have the desire to share the key success with other Christians. The believer will thus have and enjoy an active ministry for Christ. When believers do so, they will come to an understanding and more fully on Paul's closing testimony. Let me rephrase this again because it just hit me. Whenever we are really totally submissive to God, whenever we are really surrendering ourselves to Him, when we allow ourselves to be bask in His glory and doing things to glorify Him, we fully understand Paul's closing testimony, which he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. Look how it rings out, folks. Look what he is saying. Pay close attention to that. Look what he's saying, folks. He is giving us the key to spiritual success. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Wow. That's true spiritual success. Fight the good fight of faith, friends. Finish the race. Don't quit. Don't give up. Press forward. Yep. We're going to encounter troubles and tribulations. We will. Hardships will come. Pain will come. Some days it just feel like you don't feel like it. You don't want to talk to one. You don't want to deal with it. And that's understandable. But finish the race. Finish the race. And with all this, we need to understand one of the most important things in serving God. One of the most important things in serving God. And I implore you to work on this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit. Again, our Bible lessons, we're hitting on that a lot. The fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the believer. When you start focusing on that, then we need to fight the good fight of faith. We need to take hold of the eternal life to which you, each one of you, to which you were called and about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And folks, it's not about money. It's not about status or the things. That's the issue here. It's none of those. It's about the love of those things. If you love those things more than you love God, you might have an issue. Just saying. By us focusing our hearts on God and following Him to do, I'm going to backtrack. Let's put it this way. By us focusing squarely on God and following Him to allow Him to do His transforming work in us, that, my friends, counts for true spiritual success. When you allow God to do His transforming work within you, that's what counts for real, true, biblical spiritual success. And this is the reason why we need to understand this. This is the reason we need to measure how we're doing spiritually for one very good reason. Let me go slow. Because I'm just an old dumb Cajun boy who's not very eloquent in speech. And that used to bother me a lot. The reason why we need to understand this most of all, because we need to measure how we are doing spiritually for one very good reason. One day, God will measure how we have done and reward or punish us for the results. God's going to measure you one day. And you're going to be rewarded or punished. It's going to be probably a little both. And I don't know what that entails. The Bible says that we will face that. It's going to happen. I don't know what might entrail from that, but it's going to happen. And that scares me because of the things I've done wrong in my ministry. I know I'm forgiven, but I still got to give an account to it. It's going to be hard for me to look eyeball to eyeball to Jesus. It really is, because I know. I will know. So I'll leave you with this tonight, friends. Sorry we went over a little bit. When your mind is clearly focused upon the Lord, when you put in all thought into knowing Him, when you put in all thought to living for Him and doing right by Him, you will know true spiritual success in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father,